6 months we've had a trial run here, and I can only talk to Sunnyside. Within a Southeast Uplift, Sunnyside had 68 units, two permitted. One lady came to our November meeting, and she said, I went to the city. I didn't even know how to, no one knew what to do with my application. So we've got a few bumps in the roads here to take care of. And we're celebrating interstate commerce. We can go back to Abe Lincoln on that one. But this company is a $10 billion company who's come into our city. We've welcomed him. And yet so many people haven't even bothered to put their permit. I don't have a problem with the permit because I know it's a safe house. I had planned to go page by page on this document, this second reading that's got some Swiss cheese in it. But again, I've got a clock here that said I've already talked 2 minutes. And I've listened to this man talk for 40 minutes. What is equity here in the public involvement process? The other thing, public health and safety. The minute I read that in the newspaper, as referenced by Commissioner Fritz and Mayor Hales, I also interfaced this with the Airbnb and other companies. I'm only using that as a model. If this is really going to work, then we really need to get to the nitty-gritty of BDS. They also need to be at the table because we don't have enough money to enforce and go out and inspect these places. You see my little note here that I passed out. I mean, what is an accessory short-term unit? In my neighborhood, there's two house trailers all surrounded by some kind of a bamboo fencing, and they can rent that out because they live in the duplex next door. And this is absolutely bizarre. It says 30 days is not the limit on the number of nights that a host can rent overnight guests. That was just one example in your 33.207-01 purpose. When you're looking at this language and you're reading it, it's bizarre. And the enforcement piece, Airbnb has a perfect opportunity to work with our city ordinance office and really get things set in tone. And we could be a model if we really worked at it. But to do this tamp dance, voluntary versus mandatory, the last 40 minutes is absolutely insane. I guess my time's up. Okay. I did want to go. I had 3 pages to question here.
What else? What other are your main concerns?
What are your concerns, Marianne?
And which ordinance is it?
I tore off the top of my, the one you gave us, the advisory short-term rental multi-dwellings.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be talked about at the next number? This is 133, what is the number?
Oh, you mean 1333, that's being set over to, what is the date?
That's actually a second reading,
January 14.
Yeah.
But are we allowed to have public testimony at that point? Or is that a second reading and you just rubber stamp it?
Second reading at this point. Yeah, there are no amendments to it.
But so if you found some concerns,
I did. And the biggest one is when we have PDC and REACH and subsidized housing, there's nothing in here that says officially that they cannot sub-rent their apartments. That is not right, and it's missing. I did call the mayor's office regarding that issue. And also on page...
Marianne, would it be sufficient for your concern if existing law prohibited them from doing so? For example... Federal law prohibits, if there's a federal subsidy, there's a prohibition. If there's a state money and city money in a subsidy, there's prohibitions in law. Does that give you enough protection?
Listening to this guy back here, he could find a loophole. You're not getting people registering now. The lie is there. They shouldn't. You're right. But I just don't feel safe in a multi-dwelling. Suppose I move into one, the Encore somewhere. And having my neighbors rent out their bedrooms, how safe are you in your bedrooms? How safe are you in your units? How safe are you in your corridors? You're vented to get in there. You can afford to be there. I have a problem with renting out apartments and high-rises. I don't think it's safe. And having worked on the good neighbor agreements and setting all that up and Neighborhood Watch all those years in that, I think we're setting ourselves up for trouble. And carbon monoxide, by the way, there were several places where it wasn't necessary. So I think we need to readdress that as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Marianne. Okay, anyone else wants to speak on this? Then let's bring Revenue Bureau and maybe BDS staff back up for any questions or any comments from you having heard the testimony and any and the council discussion. Do you have any more light to throw on any of these issues?
Wow.
Can I ask
certainly
the testimony from the gentleman from Vacasa, Scott, I believe, about the growth of all these platforms, and are we going to be able to keep up with that?
Well, that's a great question. It very much mirrors the question that Commissioner Fish brought up earlier about workload. We've got one fully employed tax collector right now just doing transient lodging taxes in the Downtown Business Improvement District, now called the Enhanced Service District. If we discover that this becomes such a great workload, then we may very well come back to the council and ask for a resource. But I didn't want to do that yet because I don't have the workload yet, and I don't know what the workload is yet. So I need to be able to look you straight in the eye and tell you that I understand those things before I ask the question.
And we also have one auditor, too, that's dedicated to transient lodging audits. So there's two FTE there.
And it's that second position that answers Commissioner Fritz's question about how we audit existing hotels and motels. We have a dedicated auditor that digs deeply into the records of hotels and motels to confirm the validity of the remittances that they provided to us.
Does that include the names and addresses of the lodgers?
In the case, most audits are of a single location and a single proprietor. So the fact with the agreement with Airbnb, this is one of the initial examples where we have a single tax remitter who represents a lot of different locations. And so we are actually, they've completed their first quarter of remitting taxes, which they have voluntarily chosen to do on a monthly basis. And we are doing an initial audit of that.
Do we check to make sure that what the hotel says the room was charged at is, in fact, what the guest was charged?
Yes.
And how do we do that?
We do that by looking at receipts and the books of record, the revenue ledgers. We look at the receipts. We look at a variety of things. So we go in and do a financial audit.
So we actually
do
know who rented and how much they paid and what their credit card number was?
Not their credit card number necessarily, because that's not necessarily in those records, but we see that it was paid, whether it was paid with cash or because we see the receipts. So, yes, we would see
that. Audit process. We don't require them.
No, that's under audit.
Yeah.
That's correct. But with regards to needing the addresses, even if you've got, and I'll try to address a little bit with the bogus number and kind of all of that. If, as an example, we went in and everybody was great and they put in their permit numbers and we did some spot checking and we found out that one of those permit numbers was wrong. Well, we were going to want, it wasn't a real one. We checked with BDS and it's not a real one. So, and it's on a platform that perhaps we're not getting taxes from. We need to contact that operator. How do we do that if we can't ask for the name and the address? So, I mean, that's just a very small example in trying to do all these, this compliance work, an example of why we need that address. We need, in many cases, particularly on platforms that are not remitting taxes to us, we need to contact them and let them know of their transient lodging responsibilities in partnership with BDS, their permit responsibilities, and their business license tax responsibilities, because they have all three. So,
have we explored having the companies send out that information and telling them that, unless they get 75% compliance or pick a number, that then there'll be another iteration or something else?
We can do that. We can absolutely do that as a part of how we go about implementing and enforcing this, is to ask the companies to do that initially and give a time frame and try to get that. But at some point, if we don't get that, we need to have tools that allow us to enforce all these three codes.
My understanding is BDS has already done much of that, asking for assistance in enforcing Title 33, and I think some assistance has been forthcoming, but it's just not been effective.
Can you speak to that, please, Mike?
Well, we have had discussions with one operator, and we had early discussions about how to make this successful, how to have good voluntary compliance as we were ramping up towards the effective date in July of allowing these in single-family zones. We suggested certain measures that could be taken for website alterations to ensure voluntary compliance. We approach compliance from most Portlanders want to do the right thing. they're not out there to try to game the system. But what they do need is they need some education. And when we talk about websites, really having that field focusing people on having to input a permit is key.
Yes.
And when they don't know what that permit means, a link that says, what is this? It takes you directly to the city's new webpage and can walk them through the steps of getting a permit. That's what we talked about. That, in our eyes, that's how we approach new legislation and trying to get people into compliance through education efforts without seeking tough enforcement actions. So we talked about that, and we still haven't seen that implemented yet. We've also asked for information about the other operators' contacts that we could reach out to them, and we haven't received that information either.
You know, I think this discussion has been very helpful because my guess is that the mayor, who supervises the Revenue Bureau, would be quite amenable to a phase-in that use some carrots initially and not a stick.
Mm-hmm.
It is in all of our interest to have the platforms and these companies send out notices that are friendly in tone. It's all of our interest to explain to people the why right before we have to bring down the hammer. But let's just keep in mind, there has to be at least some pressure put on the companies. Otherwise, what's the incentive? They have a business model where they're getting paid. The host is getting paid. The risk that we're identifying here is the guest. And we're not sure the guest is staying in a place that's safe. And as long as we know that, we have an obligation to fix it. Whether a phase-in is the right approach, I happen to think that, you know, friendly persuasion ought to be the first approach. That's why I always appreciate when I get pulled over and an officer gives me a warning and not a ticket. But that would be within the mayor's power.
That happens more often now.
I don't have a car, so I'm now completely off the...
Or a bike, right?
I don't have a bike either. And thankfully, the mayor has been taking pity on me recently because he has a car. But I think the mayor has established his good faith in his dealings with Airbnb, for example, that I have no doubt, I have great confidence that the mayor would structure something that's not intended to be punitive or to single out any company if... provided he was satisfied that the health and safety issues were addressed in a timely manner. And that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about anything draconian. We're talking about making sure guests are safe. And shame on us if they aren't and something bad happens. Just like shame on us if Uber continues to flaunt the law and something bad happens to a passenger. We're complicit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have these rules. And when I hear that, you know, this gentleman who is... been a great partner so far to the city, but when I hear him say he's not sure he has the authority to kind of enter into these agreements and has to go up the chain, it doesn't give me a lot of confidence on something that we've clearly signaled is important to us. We've opened the front door and said, come in, but we've said there's a quid pro quo. We have to have reciprocity. And right now, we're being asked to open the front door, but look the other way, or put ourselves in a bind where we don't have the tools to do the regulatory enforcement we do in every other area we regulate. And I don't see how the council can subscribe to that.
Well, as Mike said, in every other area, we expect good Portlanders to do the right thing. And I'm not sure that we've actually had the amount of oomph behind the education to get people to get to apply for their permits. And we haven't had the stick of having to put a permit number on. And that was the discussion we had when we had when we approved the regulations, is that we were going to work towards getting a permit on there. I think from my perspective, it's gone sideways at this point because of the issue of then saying, and if you don't do that, when we're going to get your name, you also have to apply suppliers with names and addresses.
Right.
And then we start getting convoluted into the internet issues and such. It seems like we could do the permit being required first. We could then go after the other platforms who are not even in this room engaged in the conversation. We could go after the platforms for not requiring it rather than the moms and pops and the people who are just trying to make ends meet. If that doesn't work after another 6 months, then we can go to discuss what the next step is.
Mr. Fritz, I might even be able to support that if, for example, the one platform that has been a good partner and has agreed with us says to us between now and our second reading that they will comply with the requirement of putting a permit number. But I'll be less charitable if we don't get that assurance, because then we are left with very little on the enforcement side. And I appreciate your point.
Well, and I would note that if that amendment were to be moved and go forward, then we would need another person, because now we truly would be on a one-by-one-by-one on multiple platforms.
Understood. And if you're collecting more revenue, then we have all kinds of good reasons to authorize additional positions. So that's why we have people in your bureau to do this work. So
right.
It doesn't fall out of the sky. And it's particularly when we start regulating a new area of commerce, which is in effect what we're doing here today.
We still need the ability when we do that one by one. If we can't find them and get, we need to be able to notify them.
No, that's not my proposal, because okay. Then their responsibility would be on the operator, on the platform. So actually, you wouldn't need a whole bunch of new people. You could, if you found one that didn't have the permit listed, the operator would be out of compliance, and you would go after the operator. So it wouldn't.
But we still need to get that individual in compliance.
No, it's a two-step process. It's requiring the operator to have the permit listed. So if there's a single listing that doesn't have the permit listed, the operator is out of compliance, we have some structure to find the operator.
You're talking about the platform.
So
the platform. But in addition, there is requirements of the operator to comply with three different laws. And they can potentially, even if the platform put, and this was, I think, what was being talked about are they the police? No, they're not, because if I figure out what the number is, if I just put in 1273562, because that will fit the scheme,
then
find out that it's not there. The platform is not out of compliance because they did what we asked them to do. It's the operator, and I need the address to then go pursue the operator.
Yeah,
to get that
maybe in
tax
that, in that case, then you've got reasonable cause to ask for that particular.
But
I still need
fact,
the authorization to require it of them to give it to us.
They would not. That is likely the sequence, that they do the spot check, and if there's ads where there's no permit number or permit numbers that turn out to be bogus, to use your word. And by the way, someone may have entered the wrong number, so
sure.
we're not. But at that point, they're stymied unless they know who is the host.
Well, that's where we would, especially in the initial phase where people may not know what they're supposed to do, we would have the operator then contact the host and say, your permit doesn't work, and you need to get one. Here's how you do that. And we're going to be in a similar situation with the tree code as we go into implementation on January 2nd. There's going to be a whole bunch of people who are not going to know what the new tree rules are.
Mr. Fritz, if the industry was willing to do that, and I didn't hear that in the exchange, but if the industry was willing to do that as a precondition to us then asking for the, in other words, if we had to go through those hoops, that's the best kind of enforcement, because we're putting it on the backs of this platform, a multi-billion-dollar company, and we don't put it on their backs.
Exactly.
But at some point, you've got platforms that are not at the table with us and are flaunting our rules, hosts that either don't know the rules or are flaunting our rules. At some point, we need to know who they are,
sure,
so we can go beyond the carrots to actually say, you can't do this without making sure that your dwelling is safe.
Yeah, but let's go down those steps, and let's try to work with the operators, the platforms who aren't currently at the table, to figure out, is there a mechanism that we can have the burden on the multimillion dollar corporation, not on the mom and pop trying to make ends meet?
Commissioner, I'm not sure how we can in every circumstance do that, because let's say that people are listing a permit number, which is all that we can require the platform operator to do. We look at a permit number. I think that we have to have some capacity to be able to verify that people aren't using somebody else's permit number. People just like punching in a number, they think it's valid, but it might not be, but it's actually somebody else's. So I would assume that we have to have the ability to contact the person who listed that permit number, make sure that it is actually the person who had the permit. So you have to be able to contact them to do that. And then if somebody put it up who wasn't the permit holder, we need to be able to get to that person to get them to stop violating the law.
Well, I think there's obviously some more discussions that can be had over the next several weeks, but mm-hmm. you could do it with spot checks. And again, having the platform say, mm-hmm. you know, Mrs. Jones, your number has come up. I'm going to have to shop you on this one.
Mayor, it seems to me that one of the primary things we have to sort out today is the amendments.
All right. And I think it's all we have to sort out today, mm-hmm. right?
We have to
decide whether we want to adopt these amendments.
We have one amendment that looks like a technical amendment. That's the sub B. Mm-hmm. And I would move that amendment.
You're moving only the
sub B.
I'm fine with both of them.
You're fine with both of them?
I don't think C goes far enough, but it's certainly better than nothing.
We at least have it before us.
Yes.
Okay. I move the amendments.
Okay.
Second.
And is there further discussion of that? Then let's take a roll call vote on adopting the amendments, because that's probably all we're going to do today, right? And we're going to carry this forward.
Good call, Commissioner.
Well, then, because I think you've raised some important follow-up questions.
Okay, roll call.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Made that look easy. Now, I think the intention is to bring this and the other item back on the same date.
Yes.
And that date is? 14th of January?
10:45 a.m.
And Mayor, can I just make a suggestion? Because our friends from Airbnb have said that on some of this, they would like to be further engaged mm-hmm. to see whether they can get to a position of support. I would just, goes without saying, but I would urge Thomas, you and your staff to have that conversation and to find out very specifically what the concerns are and if there's an alternative. Solicit an alternative so that the council would have that well in advance of the 14th. And I'm particularly interested in knowing whether they've indicated to you that they do not believe that this enforcement mechanism is lawful.
Yeah, I want to encourage that discussion. And I think this discussion, although somewhat almost like a cross-examination, nevertheless revealed some important questions that we need to get in play and put people on notice about work that needs to get done. So I'm teasing you a little bit.
I thought he was one of the most forceful advocates for a position
yes.
that came before us, so I paid him the respect that he paid us.
Yeah, I do think there's a great benefit to collaboration, and we've had some of it in this change that we're managing. We have to have a lot more. And we have to have compliance from some folks that have sat it out so far. And that's really important. A long time ago, I worked, as Mr. Jarman does, as a representative of an industry and went from having no consumer protection to having something called the Builders Board that then required every home builder to register. And there was consumer protection involved. And it was, you know, a pretty disruptive change for that industry. And I got my house built by a guy who got Builders Board number one. But now there's 150,000 of them. So it is possible to make that kind of progress, but it required, as this does, public information, cooperation, and enforcement. Got to have all three. And we've had some cooperation. I particularly appreciate the cooperation we have had from Airbnb. We've had some folks sitting it out who haven't participated and are, in effect, completely in violation and seem to be enjoying it there. That's not okay. And then we have a lot of people, I suspect, who don't know that we're having this debate at all and who need to be brought up to speed. So I think all three are once again required. Anything else that you want to add before we close, Thomas?
I was asked to put on the record that we have met with Airbnb, had a conference call with them a week or two ago, and simply that no one to this point has raised any legal concerns about the ordinances before you today.
Yeah.
But we can continue to talk with them.
Yeah,
right.
We should continue to talk, and we'll mm-hmm. carry this forward to the 14th and look forward to more discussions in the meantime.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. And we are adjourned for the week.
Mayor,
we're not adjourned. Sorry. First, I'm setting over 1333 to January 14th to go along with it, and now we have to take two motions.
All right, well done.
One is to have a January 8th, 6 p.m. City Council meeting on the street fund, and the other is to have a February 5th, 5 p.m. City Council meeting on our participation in the Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Mayor, I will only support this if Commissioner Fritz gives her assent.
I think at least one of them was her idea.
Her idea.
So Commissioner Fish moves those two
and second.
Those two council meetings at special times, and Commissioner Fritz seconds the motion. Is there any reason to debate this any further? If not, a roll call, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, colleagues. I know that it's important for people to be able to testify. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. And they're both adopted, and now we're adjourned.
For the year.
For the year. Happy New Year.
Carla?